Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey, everybody. It is March 5th, 2024, Wrestling Inc. NXT time. And we have a new number one contender for the NXT Championship, Issa, the 30-month arc. 2.5 years since we called him not only the future of NXT,
the greatest,
but the future of pro wrestling. Tony D'Angelo is the new number one contender. Going to be facing Dragunov for that championship at Stand and Deliver WrestleMania weekend. Issa, how pumped are you for this?
So pumped. The dawn of NXT. We've literally been Tony D team for life. We've been part of the family since day one. We were captivated by those video packages. I did a bunch of research about, you know, what his family does. I feel like I am part of the family. So I'm very, very happy. I love everything. I cannot wait to talk about it because I really did enjoy that main event and the way that he pulled everything off that he did. Tony D is just too smart for Carmelo Hayes, apparently.
It was beautiful. John Jordan joining us tonight, joining Issa and myself, making his debut on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. John, welcome.
Hopefully I don't scare him off.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Hopefully I don't force you to scare me off. I was going to start with a joke to Issa saying that my New York Mets beat the Yankees in a spring training game today, but I did it anyway. I apologize.
Yeah, that's cute.
I'm happy. I know it doesn't count. I'm happy to be here. You guys are the GOATs along with Tony D. You called that a long time ago. I usually don't get to watch NXT live anymore on Tuesdays. I'm normally out playing hockey, but we're off right now and I'm jumping in. Hope to be joining you guys here and there on the different podcasts someday, regularly soon. But happy to be here on a momentous evening, NXT Roadblock.
I'm so excited for Tony D and to have you here, John. So before we dive into NXT and a lot, Sol Ruka is back.
Mm-hmm.
Thea Hale maybe had a little bit of a mental break with reality. We'll talk about that and more. So much happened tonight. Lyra, Valkyria injured. So much happening. John, what's going on in the news?
Well, in the news, as announced prior to Monday Night Raw yesterday, the first member of the 2024 Hall of Fame class was announced to be Paul Heyman. Triple H put out a tweet saying that he would have a live microphone in hand. And, you know, that's the biggest news whenever Paul Heyman has a microphone, the wise man, right? You never know what he's going to say. Now, it'll be interesting to see if he goes all the way back to his ECW personality and brings back some of that spice and flavor, right? But several ECW contemporaries, Bully Ray, Tommy Dreamer, and others reacted, obviously, WrestleMania in Philadelphia this year, the perfect place for it. So Paul Heyman as the first inductee announced. I couldn't think of somebody better in Philadelphia. And honestly, you know, some people are surprised that it didn't happen before now, but it's Philadelphia. It's perfect.
Yeah, I agree. It's perfect in Philadelphia. And he was, obviously, we all knew he would go eventually. So I'm glad they waited to do it in Philly. I think it's going to feel that much special.
Yeah. How are they going to deal with getting him in and out of the building, though, for both this WrestleMania, for anyone that he still owes money to from the ECW days?
That's a good question. You would think some security, extra security protocol might have to be put in place, right?
Yeah, he's going to be yelling about the statute of debt collection. But no, congrats to Paul. I think this is long overdue. Maybe he comes out with the Paulie Dangerously cell phone and we get, you know, like some real old school. But I think,
that will pop me.
Oh my God. You know, the documentary about him on the WWE did a few years back was phenomenal. And I just love his journey starting from, you know, finagling his way into a press pass at Madison Square Garden with Vince Sr., the WWF, and then going on to start his own promotion. And yeah, it's just phenomenal. So well-deserved to Paul Heyman.
He's big with the cell phones, right? Like that still plays into the story today with one of each, right? For Roman and for The Rock. And, you know, if he has, if he still has that old school cell phone, that's about, I don't know, about, you know, yay big, right? If that still works, the call, who knows? Who knows could be on the other end of that phone call? It would be an interesting prop for sure.
Yes. So what else is happening? What else do we got here? Let's see. Vince McMahon sold 5 million shares of TKO stock valued at $400 million.
Yeah, this came through as well. The first thing that came to mind for me was, I wonder what he might be able to use that cash for in the near-term future here.
Finance his home, maybe.
Possibly. Yeah,
you know, maybe pay down the mortgage a little bit. Yeah.
You know, Vince still in the news somehow, some way. Anytime he does anything is going to be in the news, especially as close as we are to, you know, the unfortunate stories from the recent past here. But quite a bit of money. I wonder how much that leaves him with. I did not do the math, and I'm sure he still has a bit. But you know, as the world turns, I suppose. And
yeah. We'll see. The reason people have been wondering, Wrestling Inc. has the story talking about the reason for The Rock social media promo before SmackDown. And now if you watched all 21 minutes, you may have noticed that Dwayne Johnson used some salty language that wasn't exactly TVPG. And lo and behold, in addition to being able to go into greater detail, not having to work the crowd, tell more of the story behind the story of getting Cody to put off finishing his story, he was able to drop some F-bombs.
It's great.
It is great. He could be more footloose and fancy free, as they say, right? But what I found interesting about this is he originally posted, a 16-minute video,
yeah,
and deleted it and then redid it again. So
director's cut.
You got to get it right, you know. You got to get it all out there.
Yeah. And that was fun Friday. It was good between those. And then lastly, John, you have the story about what's going on with Sammy Guevara and AEW.
So I felt like this was about a month ago. Sammy Guevara, you know, landed his finisher on Jeff Hardy. It looked like maybe his knees or his legs hit him in the head. It's not the first time that, you know, Sammy's been involved in an incident with a Hardy, right, where the Hardy ended up injured. But it came out that he's been suspended. That was interesting to me, apparently for breaking concussion protocol or not adhering to concussion protocol. No word on whether or not the referee or anybody else involved in the match had any culpability there either. I found it very interesting that this all landed on Sammy.
Yeah, it is interesting. But, you know, we'll see. I think he'll bounce back. Do you think, I mean, this isn't like a Jack Perry style suspension.
I wouldn't think so. You know, what I thought about too is that the only discipline that we've heard of really coming out of AEW is this disciplinary committee. So I wonder what the chain of conversation was there, right? Like who had a say in the matter? You know, the last time we heard about high profile discipline in AEW was with CM Punk and the brawl out, right? So or Brawl In, rather. You can't keep all the brawls together from that time period. But you know, Bryan Danielson was apparently involved in that conglomerate, right? So I would love to know some more details. And when we do know more details, I'm sure Wrestling Inc. will have it.
The wrestlers do not stop the match, so I hope that we do hear more details, because this is on a lot of people's involvement, and we saw it with the Moxley situation, where that match continued even way past Moxley getting the concussion. So, I mean, yeah, okay, so they took action, and I'm not standing up for anybody here. The whole thing looked ridiculous, and, you know, and I couldn't believe that the match continued, because it was clear that he was knocked out at the moment. But I feel like maybe you should just review not just disciplinary action, but a way to figure this out altogether, because this is not the first time that it's happening. And it's like, oh, great, they're taking action over this while we're seeing little people mutilate themselves the next night on Revolution. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make any sense, and I just wonder why that decision was made. I'm not sure that we'll ever get that full version, but as far as I know, the doctor ringside and the referee throws the X, we stop the match, and I don't think that that's what went on based on the videos that I did see, but I don't know.
Well, it's a great callback too to the Moxley incident, because as if I remember correctly, that referee didn't work for a bit. We didn't see him for a while, right?
Correct.
So you know, it's not just on the wrestlers that are participating, and you're right, it certainly isn't up to them to stop the match, right? So we'll keep our ears and eyes peeled to see what unfolds from there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I want to talk for 1 second before we dive into NXT. Did anyone other than me pre-order WWE 2K24?
I did not. I had all the pressure in the world from my 15-year-old son to do so, but we're going to wait for your review, Gwen.
I mean, I you said you order it this year?
No, I haven't.
Too Cody-centric for you?
Yeah, I mean, if I order it, you know that's not the cover that I will get. Definitely I'll get the Rhea and Bianca one, just because I don't want no Cody Rhodes in the cover.
So I started playing last night, played a match or two, and I just want to give my initial thoughts. This is by no means a complete review. It feels like a faster paced game this year. And one thing I like is they fixed the reversal window. So you're not blinking, you miss it, missing these reversals, and then you just get dominated and you have to wait 5 minutes for a sequence of events to pan out. Like, it seemed faster there. Graphically, the polygons are a little kinder to some talents than others. There are some, I think, unflattering depictions of some wrestlers. The way that they look in the game just isn't very good, in my opinion. But my GM mode is much deeper. And now, in addition to trades, different things unlock at different levels. There's more different match types. Like, it's not as predictable of a pattern. So I was playing it last night, and whereas in years past, I feel like I've gotten the hang of my GM mode in about an hour, to where you can just dominate in that, even on the hardest setting. Now it's much more volatile, which is making for a more interesting game. So those are first impressions, and you know, we'll see what happens. I'm going to keep playing it throughout the week.
I appreciate that review, Glenn. But you're not asking the people in the chat what they really want to hear, which is, did you guys see the commercial of Roman Reigns behind the scenes during the 2K24 shooting, where he speared a cameraman? And then he said, I'm out here snapping cameramen. If you don't get away, it's going to happen to you. I wanted to go to school and become a cameraman immediately. That's what we need to be talking about, Glenn.
That's what we need to talk about?
Yeah. I'm going to get my degree on cameramanship, whatever it's called, just so that I can get snapped by Roman Reigns. Thank you.
That's not the only route to catching a spear, but it, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, I suppose, right?
True. Cool. So I'll have more on that, I'm sure, on Friday's SmackDown coverage.
I'll have more on Roman Reigns on Friday as well.
So Glenn, if you're big into the My GM mode, are you also a create a wrestler guy? Like, will there be a guillotine Glenn or something like that in the game?
Come on, Glenn. He doesn't know your wrestler name. He's so good.
So I didn't do in 2K23, but on 2K, like every year they had a create a wrestler. I don't know why I didn't do it last year. No, I guess I did make it. I didn't play My Rise. So Glennergy exists.
Yes.
And dominates.
So good.
In the 2K universe. Yeah, I'm gonna dive into that and play some My Rise, do a Glennergy arc. So I think that'll be fun to take a deep dive into.
Glennergy is like my 11th favorite wrestler.
That is my first official faux pas on the podcast that I will admit to. I knew that. I've been watching you guys for a while. I remember Gwenergy, and that is unfortunate. So I apologize.
It's all good. Okay, let's talk about NXT Roadblock tonight and everything that happened. We opened with Dijak versus Joe Gacy in an asylum match. And yes, John, yes, how worthy of the asylum were the lunatics in this match?
I mean, Joe Gacy's crazy, right? He kind of scares me. And then Dijak, I've always respected as a performer. I go back to, the old name of Dijakovic against Keith Lee and all the amazing things that they used to do. But he's never really terrified me. We're not going to talk about T-Bar. That's not a thing. But on top of the cage, that man is enormous. And that moonsault was unbelievable. I thought it was fantastic. I was nervous for both of them. And I think the last time we saw an asylum match, if I remember correctly, was Dean Ambrose and Chris Jericho, right?
Yeah, it's Extreme Rules 2016 is the only asylum match.
The potted, and then we had everything except for the potted plant. Mitch
was there. So, Jericho has 69 thumbtacks on his back. It was crazy.
They're both crazy, and I think Gacy gets the edge for crazier because no one has ever looked more comfortable in a straight jacket than him that I can remember. But a fun way to open things up.
Issa?
Yeah, I really, that moonsault, I'm glad you brought it up because it was the spot. And I saw him climbing up there and I was like, I'm sitting there thinking, you're too big to be doing this. Stop that. And then he hit it and it was beautifully done. I thought the match was a little slow moving for my taste. There was a couple of spots where it just kind of dragged, especially like, I guess the science of putting on a straight jacket, especially the old school straight jacket and trying to get it pinned, like I did think that kind of took away from the momentum of the match at points. But Joe Gacy did such a good job. Like, he got duct tape, got put in a straight jacket, and this man kept getting up and still kept trying to hit something. Like, I actually thought that Joe Gacy looked great here, and I still don't understand Dijak. I don't understand his gimmick outside of he reminds me of the Matrix, but he's been putting on bangers. You can't take that away from him. Every time he's in the ring, you are going to get a good match with a couple of good spots. This was fun. It was a great opener, and the show never let off from here. Like, it paced smoothly. Like, it was a great show today. So I do think it was great starting with this match.
Yeah, it was really good. And it's interesting that Dijak won. Issa, do you still think the end game now is that Dijak says, Gacy, you're the craziest guy I've ever met, and we're going to form a tag team? Is that still where this goes?
No, because it looks like Dijak is moving on to something else.
Maybe.
Yeah, we saw him have an interaction later on in the show. I can't remember with who, but...
Was it Josh?
Oh, it was with Jensen, with Briggs.
Briggs, yeah.
So, told him that he liked Jensen. So, I don't know that we're going to stay here. I mean, what do you do after this? Outside of that, and I don't need them uniting more single stars together as tag teams. They're not going to be as good as the Wolf Dogs, so just let it go.
Well, that's true.
I think the question then becomes, you know, where does Joe Gacy go from here? If he's losing that opportunity to... join forces with once an adversary, and now you're so crazy, you're my
number one
guy.
He goes back under the ring, John. Go back under the ring, and he'll figure out who to attack.
And he'll be smiling the whole time.
That's how his views have been set up lately. So we'll see whose match he comes out for next.
This has been a long rivalry between these guys.
Yeah,
I feel like this has been going on the better part of my 40s. I mean, this just feels like it's gone forever. So, I mean, if this was the end, this was a very satisfying ending to it. But I think Gacy has been, he's definitely grown on me. I think he was one of those early NXT 2.0 characters that started out where it's like, okay, there was some really clever stuff with wanting to make the cruiserweight division more inclusive. And then it like was gonna a little groan inducing. And then he got really nuts with it with that stand and deliver promo on the grassy knoll in Dallas. But I feel like Schism broke up. He kind of found his sweet spot with this just showing up in random places, you know, within the NXT arena. Yeah, I hope they give him something good after this, because I think that he's really coming to his own as a performer.
He could really check that box as like a one of these things is not like the other type, right? Showing up anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah. So we'll see. Big moment backstage. The second biggest moment in the Tony D'Angelo verse tonight, which is that Luca Crucifino is now the consigliere for the D'Angelo family, going full Tom Hagen Godfather.
It was like the Spider-Man meme where the Spider-Mans are pointing at each other. It was so beautiful. I accept him into the family. I know I have no say, but I accept him into the family. It's perfect.
He's in just like that, and it's probably the smart thing to accept him because, you know, you don't want to cross the family. But it's good to see Luca Crucifino find himself a firm spot on the NXT roster. I've seen him a few times at live events here. I'm just outside of Tampa, Florida, so on the circuit, as it were, right? But it's interesting too, because, you know, the crowd loves the D'Angelos. The crowd has not loved Luca Crucifino to this point. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I thought it happened quickly, but maybe they had a need. Maybe they needed a consigliere, right? If you need one, you got to get one.
It's interesting with Luca because they had him do some legal arguments, but it's actually kind of funny that they never went full Saul Goodman with it or made him more of a caricature of an attorney. They made him as a guy who's fighting the good fight. So I think that for this character, I think him being in the D'Angelo family is going to work quite well. That being said, in the long-term storytelling of the D'Angelo family, you know, once Tony D is champ for, I don't know, what's Roman's record at? You say he's going to surpass that. Tony should be the forever NXT champ. Someone's going to have to try and turn on him. And that's going to be, oh, I wonder if Luca's undercover. Because we also predicted that, Issa, that there would be at some point a Donnie Brasco situation in the D'Angelo family.
Yeah, I think he's going to be there for a little bit, though, before we see that.
Yeah, we'll see. It's exciting. I'm very excited by this.
Perhaps what they should do is to, you know, Tony did some time behind bars, and I don't know if there was ever any conviction or wiping the record clean there, but that could be Luca's first task, you know, get it off the books.
Expunge the record, yeah. Yeah. They never really gave us a great story about that. And somehow, whether he was going to stay in jail or not was dependent on Stax winning a match. It's all very...
Yeah, but they Stax was always loyal. That's what mattered.
Yeah, that is true. Saw Fallon Henley meeting with Riley Osborne backstage to talk about Thea Hale. So this is continuing. And then Blair Davenport was getting into it, which led to Henley challenging Davenport to a match. We'll talk about that more soon, but the Wolf Dogs defended their NXT Tag Team Championships against Chase U tonight. John, how are you feeling about the Wolf Dogs?
I'm not sure how to feel about the Wolf Dogs, and it's not because I don't appreciate both performers individually and together. I like the way this came together, and for them to win the NXT Tag Team Championships, I feel like was the right move in a bubble. But at the same time, we've got Bron Breakker up on the main roster, already positioned as a big deal. How is that going to play out? I thought it was entirely possible for them to lose these titles as early as tonight and then have, I didn't want it to, I thought it was possible, and then possibly have a rift between the two, and then Corbin makes his way back to the main roster to chase Breakker around as his first feud. Happy to see the results. I'm not sure how it's going to play out, but I'm interested to watch.
I think they're going to take their time with Bron Breakker on the main roster, at least until after WrestleMania. I think we have so many important feuds. I don't know where you will fit him in there. So I do see them staying tag team champions until past Stand and Deliver. And then maybe from there, that's when I see it happening where they lose them somehow. But I thought this was a fun match. They gave it some time too. This went on a couple of segments. I really enjoy seeing how much Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker just work together like they've been a tag team forever. Like, it's hard to believe that they've only been together for a few weeks. And Chase U, I would always be entertained by them, but they always lose. So, you know, at some point you kind of have to do something else with them. But overall, yeah, this was a fun action-packed match. But of course, the Wolf Dogs retain. I was also very upset that the announcer did not announce them as the Wolf Dogs.
I wrote that down too. At some point, it's got to be recognized, right? I mean, we've got masks and everything else.
Yeah, we have to.
The biggest problem with Chase U is I still can't figure out how anyone's ever wrestled in what looks to be a very hot sweater. That's got to be incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It was a great match, though. I don't know about the Wolfdog masks they were wearing at the beginning. It could go.
I liked it.
It's cute.
Cute's okay. Maybe not what they were going for, though.
But I liked when Baron wore the wolf head. That was, I like that actually better. I thought that was
more. Yeah.
But this was okay. But they, look, they wrestled though like $1 million tonight. This was really good. Chase Yu is interesting. So then JC Jane doing the L on the forehead sign, Thea snapping and running to the back. It's interesting where this is going. I think Stand and Deliver, Thea versus JC is really going to be incredible.
You think that's where it's going?
I mean, doesn't it seem like that's who Thea needs?
Yeah. I didn't think about it until now, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a huge match. I mean, I want Thea to have that big win Mania weekend.
She deserves it. Long overdue.
She really does. And they're planting the seeds for, you know, some dissension between JC and the rest of Chase Yu as well, which leads us to, you know, a potential takeover, right? And no longer Chase Yu. Chase you.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
I've been waiting on that one.
So that was a good match. Wolfdog's keeping the titles, right move. But yeah, right now it's just, I don't think those titles are going anywhere soon. Also, where was the club after their big debut?
I forgot about them.
I thought they were going to show up after and do something.
I forgot about them.
Card subject to change, right? You never know from week to week.
I think Stand and Deliver is going to be a four-way tag match with the Wolf Dogs, the Club, Chase Yu, and maybe OTM, but that will be a way for them to get the titles off the Wolf Dogs without them taking the pin. So.
Okay, I see what you're doing there.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Sean Spears, the chairman of AEW, now the chairman of NXT, coming in and defeating Uriah Connors in a squash. Are you happy, John, to see Sean Spears back in NXT?
I am. That was a big surprise. I think a lot of people were stunned by that, including people backstage, from what I understand. I have a soft spot in my heart for Sean Spears, the former Ty Dillinger. I mentioned my oldest son earlier. Yes, 10. We met him at an NXT show along with Finn Balor and Bolt Dempsey. There's a blast from the past.
Well, fit.
Many, many years ago. Yes, sir. Let the boys, my oldest and my youngest, who was tiny at the time, Finn let them hold the NXT championship, the real one. Ty Dillinger at the time couldn't have been nicer. I actually sent him some an Instagram message not too long ago, condolences when his mother passed, and then excitement for when he and Cassie were having their first child. Super nice guy. So very happy to see him back. But I'm confused, and I know it's early and we got to let it play out, but I'm a little confused. Obviously, you knew bringing him back to NXT in that intimate environment. They loved him there. They always did. You're not going to get past those 10 chants. That's always going to happen with that crowd, right? So this mystique behind the character, that's a little bit of what he did in AEW for a time and a little bit of trying to bring out the Savage and Ridge Holland. I really want to see what the connection there is between the two, why Ridge Holland was the target, and you know, why wear Sean Spears? Because it's not often that you are in the WWE property, you go elsewhere with a new name, and you come back with that new name. It hasn't happened all that often.
Yeah. Issa, what'd you think?
Yeah, quick squash match for him. The thing that I noticed, and I thought it was adorable and sweet, because I am excited to see him back, and I feel like everybody, especially the nostalgic NXT, you know, crowd. And there was 2 points in the match in which the camera went to his face and he's trying to be badass, but you saw a tiny little smirk and you could just tell it was that I'm home smirk. And I was like, I love that moment for him. He was taking it in. He did it again after he got the win, and then he went right back into his character. But it was good to be able to see him kind of have that moment. And it was very quickly, but I saw the smirk, Sean Spears, and I was happy. I was smirking myself too. It's good to have him home, right? And I am confused by the gimmick, but I am intrigued. So I guess I want to see where it goes. I like how he was talking later. He's doing that passive aggressive, I'm better than you, but I'm not kind of attitude towards the way that Ridge Holland is and what he wants to bring out in him. So yeah, I'm confused. I am. I'm with you on that, John. But I am intrigued, and I guess that is something. It's very weird to see him as Sean Spears, but I think he's just trying to be different from what he was when he was Ty Dillinger, and it's all going to take us some time to get used to it, but I'm here for it right now.
Yeah, and it's interesting him going into a feud with Ridge Holland. This is actually making Ridge Holland more interesting because Ridge Holland's NXT run and the entire way they tried to set this up has just been not good. It started terrible, and then it got progressively less bad. And now it's okay.
He's fighting with himself initially, right? Like, I'm a monster that's been accused of hurting people and so on and so forth, right? And then, you know, now we've got Sean Spears involved. And one of the things that almost happened tonight, intercepted by referees and such, was slipping in the chair and daring him to whack him in the head. I love wrestling. I know what it is. I always laugh at stuff like that. Like, come on, smash me in the face of the chair. Well, this is a real fight, man. And I grabbed that chair that you just gave me and whack you in the skull. The day just got worse. So interesting baiting there, I suppose. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny because this would be a big deal, and it is a big deal, but this would be huge. But so much happened tonight. I feel like this is, you know,
well, it felt the same way last week. I know I wasn't here with you, but I did watch the show, and it felt the same way where he showed up and it was a big deal. But so many things went on the show with Tony D'Angelo at the end and this and that, that it did kind of get lost in the shuffle, you know, of things that happened on NXT, and that happened again tonight.
Which speaks to how great NXT is. I think that everybody might have a different order, but I think it's like there's, you could easily come up with top five things that happened on this week's episode, last week's episode. Like, a lot is happening. NXT is really cooking and firing on all cylinders right now. Great to see. So Brooks and Dunn were backstage, and Brooks asked Dunn, or did Dunn ask Brooks? The one that's challenging Obafemi was asked by the other one if he was sure about that.
Yeah, you guys have gotten me for a long time on the Brooks and Dunn. I got Boot, Scoot, and Boogie in my head, and I can't tell which one from the other to this point. But
Jensen, I know Jensen is the one challenging Obafemi,
okay.
The curly hair one.
Wait, is he Brooks or Dunn?
I call them Jensen and Briggs. I might be the only person in the world that goes by that.
I think it's Brooks Jensen. Oh, wow. I actually just said his full name. Crazy.
Wow. Look at you.
Yeah. So this is good. I think they're going to end up back as a tag team.
But this is where Dijak jumped in, yes. Right? And whispered something to Josh Briggs.
Yes.
I thought it was so funny though, because he's not wrong. You know, he tried to wish Jensen good luck on his match next week, and he's facing Obafemi, and I know from what we know, you know, his friend is going to die. So Dijak coming in and saying, you're such a liar. I pop for it because he's not wrong.
Yeah, so we'll see. But we went from that to the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane facing Lyra Valkyrie and Tatum Paxley for the Women's Tag Team Championship. Issa, was this match all you hoped it would be?
It was more than what I hope it would be. I don't even think I had expectations for it. I was very happy to see the tag team champions on NXT because for a long period of time, it seems like we forgot that you can defend them across all brands. First of all, like on the beginning, we were seeing the main roster champions come down to NXT a lot more.
Yeah.
I never did think that the Kabuki Warriors were going to lose. It didn't make me not enjoy the match. I thought that Paxley and Valkyria work very well together. They also, again, we're just talking about the Wolf Dogs. They seem like they always been a tag team, like they've been a thing forever, and they haven't. And I'm just really enjoying everything that the Kabuki Warriors are doing. You can tell they're having fun with each other. This was a fun match where everybody got to hit their spots and everybody looked great. But at the end, the Kabuki Warriors retained, which is what I expected. The damage control angle is big right now. I would assume they're going to hold on to those titles for a little bit longer.
It was what I expected, too. The only thing that crept in my head a little bit is we're back in NXT, right? And one of the people that can stake claim to NXT as their forever home is Bayley. So yeah. I wondered possibly if maybe there might be a little hello there. That didn't happen. Obviously, we were also reminded that Asuka's never lost in an NXT ring, so I let any doubt in my head dissipate at that point. I will say that I think that this pairing of Tatum Paxley with Lyra Valkyria has gone pretty well, especially for Paxley, given her some time to shine, not just character work, but also in the ring. I thought she was actually particularly really good tonight. So all positive things that come out of this, the Kabuki Warriors roll on. And now we get to see Tatum go a little more crazy, I would suspect, in the coming weeks.
Yeah, which I am here for. Issa, Tatum Paxley, is she more Jennifer Jason Leigh in Single White Female, Isabel Furman in Orphan, Mark Wahlberg in Fear, perhaps?
Mark Wahlberg in Fear.
Oh, so she's going to carve it into her chest, the tattoo, and be like Lyra and Tatum forever.
Such a good movie. Such a good movie, too. Yes, she
was on cable the other night.
That's one that I always stop and watch.
But, you know, not to derail this, but if you watch that movie, which is like Mark Wahlberg's first starring role, it's all there. Like, you get the full range of the Mark Wahlberg acting experience in the movie Fear. He's just basically repeated that template of range of emotions his entire career. It's amazing.
Especially in The Happening.
In that movie in particular, he was very sweet in the beginning, if you remember.
Yeah. There's that soft whispering with that like quiet intensity. It's like, I melt for that.
I'm going to quickly date myself, but I went on a date to that movie. And
to Fear?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
She had seen it already, and that freaked me out. We didn't last after that.
Okay. So. Well, there you go. Tatum Paxley is doing amazing work. I was kind of surprised she didn't make the save when Roxanne. So the Kabuki Warriors won, retained. Then Tatum just kind of like disappeared, and Roxanne Perez was out there beating up Lyra and like potentially broke her arm. So she was Lyra Valkyria taken off in an ambulance.
Because Tatum Paxley will do anything for love, but she won't do that.
John, this is what you signed up to join this tonight.
I knew what I was getting into.
Okay.
I knew what I was getting into. I put down some notes earlier that I said, you know what? I'm not part of the club just yet. I can't say this stuff. So I'm going to scratch that out. I knew we'd get here.
Yeah. So I wonder if we're getting Perez versus Valkyria as stand and deliver, or, I mean, I hope they don't do the, Lyra can't compete, not medically cleared.
I feel like she has to relinquish, because they did that to Roxanne when she was out for like a week. She had to relinquish. So.
It would be okay. So for Roxanne's character, it would be amazing if they don't make her relinquish, and then Roxanne just has a complete and total meltdown.
Meltdown. I mean, we already lost her, so what's another meltdown?
Yeah,
I'm loving this Roxanne. Like every week, I want to know who she's gonna punch in the face. I'm here for it.
Yeah, a little more sizzle to her overall, right? She's not this, you know, cutesy. Maybe not everybody takes her seriously. She's as vicious as they come, and she's showing it.
Yeah, she's great. But then we saw during this backstage, Kiana James, Izzy Dame, and Thea Hale got into a fight. And this set up a match. Thea was like, I think I challenged them to a tag match. And then asked JC Jane to join her, and JC was like, no. So this is very interesting. I'm assuming it'll be Fallon Henley. We'll talk in a second about what Fallon did tonight. So yeah, this is progressing with the Thea JC heat. But then we have Fallon Henley versus Blair Davenport. And a surprise return from Sol Ruka coming in to attack Blair.
She had one job.
So cool.
She had one job, and she kind of like botched it a little bit, but the excitement, I can overlook it.
Yeah. But she comes back, and it's not just interference, right? It's not just taking somebody out. It's in Sol Ruka style. It has to be over and above, something really cool from the outside. And whether or not it was flawless, no big deal. I still wrote down that it was fantastic, and she looked great. And I believe she's come back at least a little early from the initial projection, right? Mm-hmm. So glad to see her back for sure.
Yeah, she looked great. And I'm here for the actual continuation, because everybody that has gotten taken out by Blair Davenport, has actually came back and attacked Blair Davenport. Yes, I know that our girl Nikita is sending her a shout out. Hope she gets well soon.
Man, I hope she gets better.
I know that our girl Nikita is injured again, but however, when she came back, she went after Blair. Storyline, Blair is the one who took her out. Storyline, she took out Sol Ruca, and Sol Ruca also coming for her. I am here for the long-term stories and for them continuing that. I thought Sol looked great, and it was a great way to get the win over Blair Davenport. However, like Chase Yu, she just never wins. She has made herself a lot of enemies, so I don't think this affected her, but she does lose quite a bit.
Yeah. And help Fallon Henley get the win, though, tonight against Blair. So that was nice.
What Blair needs, because of the fact that she's attacked anyone and everyone in the parking lot with little revenge coming back her way, is a nice redemption arc. Maybe eventually she'll make amends with all of these ladies, and maybe that'll lead to more success in her future.
Maybe. I mean, they seem pretty invested in Blair. I mean, look, the fact she got the mantle of the parking lot attacker, one of the greatest pieces of NXT folklore, and that going to her, like, that's a huge, huge deal. So it's interesting where she's existing. And I think that, you know, if Nikita, who got injured again, but then Sol and then Wendy Chu, like, these are big stories. These are big feuds. I just think we need to see them through to their logical conclusion. Yeah, like, I'm here for that. So I thought this was good tonight. We heard from the No Quarter Catch crew, winners of the Heritage Cup. And we had a William Regal cameo tonight coming out and sharing the screen with his son, Charlie Dempsey.
And a "He's Your Father" chant very quickly thereafter.
Yes. Yes. John, what did you think of this? Did you pop for that?
I thought it was great. Absolutely. I love Regal. Especially, you know, we heard recently that his cameo a couple weeks ago was all we should expect for the foreseeable future. And then here he is again. So I love when we're pleasantly surprised. To hear the crowd pop for his music at mm-hmm. first was fantastic. I've been in that crowd before when Regal shows up unexpectedly years ago. They love him. So really yeah. cool to see. Really cool to see him interact with his real life son, and especially them going nose to nose there for a minute.
Yeah, the banter between the two of them, you could tell they were having fun just throwing some jabs at each other. Again, we saw it on Trump Spears' face earlier, and we saw it here with William Regal and also his son. Like, you could just see in both of their faces that this was awesome. And we didn't know, based on some of the reports, that he did ask out of his AEW contract because he wanted to come and work closely with his son. So it was just a cool moment to see them there finally get a segment together. We'll see where the Heritage Cup goes. I think this wasn't about that. This was about giving them that spotlight, and I'm excited for it. The Heritage Cup still don't click for me.
Noam Dar distraught backstage.
He's fine.
He's fine. Okay.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, the Heritage Cup thing, the metaphor makes it entertaining.
They've done a great job with it. Now, the one thing that did happen back in the ring with the No Quarter Catch crew was the mention of the catch clause, right? So they can all defend this now. So you had Regal, you had Charlie Dempsey, obviously no acknowledgement really there of the real life relationship between the two. But what's to say that one of the four in Dempsey's crew doesn't defend it successfully at some point, and then there's some beef there, right? And maybe there's an alignment between Regal and Dempsey somewhere down the line. I would love that. I'd like to see them fight. I think Regal could still go, but we'll see.
You think Regal can bump still after the surgery?
I think he can stretch his kid. Look, I'm I'm not a spring chicken anymore, and my boys can't take me yet, so I want to see it.
Von Wagner.
Wait, I love that. Yet he said, "My kids can't take me yet." Oh, I love that.
it's happening. I see it happening.
So Mr. Stone's watching video. Alexis King, Von Wagner's there, and Stone tells Wagner he needs to fight King on his own, and Wagner agrees. Let's talk about the bigger news that Issa, in the last week, we have shared our theory about the kayfabe siring of those kids to Matt Kuhn, former podcast co-host with Robert Stone, and to I've shared it with Matt Morgan, real life close friend who came up with Robert Stone. So I have to assume at this point, Robert Stone has heard our kayfabe theory that Von Wagner is the father of his children.
Tonight, he said, I have to fight for my kids. And Von Wagner wanted to take on the fight. And I couldn't help but to think, why? Is it because they're your kids? It would be unfair to let this man fight for kids that aren't his. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe, maybe Robert Stone's wife leaves him because of his obsession with Alexis.
Maybe he leaves her because she can't make spaghetti.
Oh, that's true. Well, I was going to say, maybe she leaves him for Alexis King. And then Vaughn and Robert Stone and the kids are in a My Two Dad situation.
Also, that is not Lexus King car on the beginning of the show. Can we just talk about that? That's not his car. Cap.
Do you think it's a rental? Did he borrow it from someone?
He was just parked at a parking lot. And he told his friends, like, hey, pull out your phone real quick. Let's pretend it's my car real quick. Oh.
Isa, I forgot. Tonight on commentary, did you hear the Vegas reference and the David Copperfield reference?
Yes.
Proving they listen to this podcast.
They have to. They have to, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to Abraham Lincoln.
So, Tony D'Angelo came down to the ring.
Yes. I was so torn here. You know, we have been Tony D since day one, but you know I have nothing but love for especially heel Melo. But yeah. I got to tell you, my heart was with Tony. My heart was Tony tonight.
I mean, we knew it's going to be Melo versus Trick at Stand and Deliver. So this match was great. I love how they pulled this off. And I was really worried for a second when Trick Williams' music hit, because I was like, oh, they're going to kind of punk Tony out if he wins based on this distraction. So I love that it was Tony that hit the music, pulling a page from Mello's book, what he did with the psych out a couple weeks back. But then Trick actually being there after, it just made Tony look like a genius and the crowd was behind him. So look, I think he's proven that all gimmicks and characters aside, Tony D'Angelo is a beast in the ring. But Isa, what did you think of this match, given that you were torn between the two opponents?
I have been really enjoying all of Melo's work since his heel turn. I think he just hasn't missed, no pun intended. But I gotta tell you that the happiness that I felt when I saw Tony D insert himself in the world title picture last week, like, I enjoy him with tags, don't get me wrong. I thought they had a great run as tag teams, but I just always felt like Tony is just such a bigger star in the charisma and the character and everything. And I feel like there's a couple of things that he did last week where he looked like a boss, and there's a couple of things that he looked tonight where he's like, okay, so maybe it's an over-the-top gimmick, but he does come off as a bit of a mafia boss. Like, you should be intimidated by some of the things he's pulling off. I was afraid that, and shout out to Dylan because he said it on my chat, I was afraid that they were going to have one of the security guards beat Trick, and I'm like, come on, we've seen that Trick a lot, you know? So I did like the fake out, and I absolutely love that he brought out Trick after that. Tony D is making moves behind everybody's back, and you don't even realize it, right? He paid the cops last week, allegedly. Now this week, he's in cahoots with Trick D and Trick Williams. And now he's the number one contender. I think everything worked out beautifully as far as the match goes. I thought they had great in-ring chemistry. I thought that Melo was doing an amazing job selling for Tony, and I felt like most times it would have been anybody's match. When the music hits and the camera pans and you see Tony just standing there with a smile on the face and you realize what just went on, great moment, captured perfectly. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the whole show, but yeah, this was great.
And the way that all played out, I thought was pretty much flawless. I mean, the match was fantastic, like you said. It makes Tony again look like a mastermind, that he knows what he's doing and he's not just, you know, a blowhard, right? He means what he says and he says what he means and he gets it done. And now we've got him split off to go challenge for the title, and we've got what we knew was coming, which is Trick versus Melo. And when things make sense, I love it, right? It all makes sense. And the pop for Trick Williams, who, by the way, like, who's cooler than him at this point? Oh, I mean, he's phenomenal. It's hyperbole, but it sounded like the roof was going to come off, and that's a small venue, so when it's loud, it's really loud.
I wonder, Isa, do you think Melo and Trick get called up, or do you think Trick is going to be the one to take that title off Tony D'Angelo?
I do. I think that Trick stays a little bit longer. on the main roster, I don't know that they come up together. Trick Williams looked great. Respect.
He looked phenomenal tonight.
He screamed superstar, and he has for a while. And once he got cooking in the ring full time, it was never more clear. And I don't think he's missed a beat once.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got the it factor. Walks into a room, everybody turns to look. He's got it.
And where Tony looked so big time tonight, so one was the trick of playing Trick's music to Carmelo, and then getting him for the win, doing the forget about it. But then after the fact that he grabbed the mic and apologized, he was like, oh, and I have a surprise for y'all. And then like Trick Williams, he looked very in control. This didn't look like he didn't look like a secondary. You know, if anything, the Don of NXT gives the people what they want.
Right. Yeah, he's looked so smart the last 2 weeks. Like, you buy him as, because you put him from losing the tag team titles to going in the main title picture. How do you pull that off? They're doing it excellently with Tony D. He looked like a credible contender last week. He outsmarted the biggest heel in NXT this week. You cannot not take him seriously. I know that a lot of people, the criticism on Tony is like the gimmick is too over the top, but it doesn't matter if he's really playing the character to a T. The Don of is actually genius because he goes all in. He's gone all in since day one. I'm always been here for it. That's no secret.
Yeah. And I think it's okay for that to be over the top, as long as when it comes time to get down to business, which is the action in the ring, getting it done however you need to. And he's fantastic in the ring. There's no complaints there. And he's one step closer to fulfilling the prophecy that you all laid on him so long ago at the beginning of the NXT 2.0 era. So the dreams are about to come true.
We loved him as soon as that first video package came on.
Yeah. Oh, man. I could almost see Tony D'Angelo as the Don of NXT being champ. And maybe he graciously says, you know what? I run NXT. I don't need to be the champion. I choose who the champion is.
And hands it right to Stax.
Yes. Oh, man. This was a great show tonight. I had a really good time.
I feel like it went by so fast. It so pays fast. Wonderfully. I forgot about the overrun. I always like bitch about the overrun. I completely forgot about it tonight. It was a great show, but it was like a TV special, right? It was Roadblock, so you expected it to be a lot more in-ring focused, and I thought they did a great job.
Yeah. I mean, look, NXT right now, I think Stand and Deliver is going to be a heck of a card. I mean, we're going to have Tony D versus Dragunov, Trick versus Melo. Maybe Roxanne versus Valkyria. Mm-hmm. Maybe Tatum Paxley costs Lyra the championship, and then we get their one-on-one feud spinning out of that, which would be good. I think we're going to get Thea versus JC, something involving the Heritage Cup that I still don't understand, but I will just smile and nod and watch the match. Like, we've got easily a good 6 or 7 high-quality matches.
And I'm so excited because I think this NXT will get a lot of attendance and a lot of eyes on it just because of how the complex is set up in Philly. You can go from one stadium to the other. It's literally just a walking distance thing where obviously in Dallas or LA, they were way too far away from each other for people that wanted to do both shows, be able to do both shows. So I'm super excited about that too, because they deserve to have a sold out stadium.
Yeah. LA, where you refused. You said, I'm not going to deal with that.
No.
She knew better.
I wasn't. That was too, it was actually a little bit closer than Dallas. Dallas was the worst.
Yes. Let's talk a second about the fact that I watched Level Up last week.
Why are we doing this?
I thought you were going to beat me to it, Issa. We talked about watching Level Up for years.
I don't watch Level Up. I know, but I told you I can't do it, Glenn. I already watched
it's
enough TV.
20 minutes of wrestling. It's 20 minutes.
Glenn?
Okay. Did you see the clip, though, of Javon Evans?
No.
Dude is phenomenal.
Saw him live not too long ago. He's the real deal. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Someone to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah. And that's what's going to keep me watching Level Up, is that I like seeing the true developmental aspect of NXT. And Stevie Turner is on Level Up.
Oh, she's back. All right.
She's a hacker, but she can't hack herself onto the main NXT schedule.
Not yet.
Yeah, I'm gonna pass. I'll wait for your updates.
Okay. So, John Jordan, where can everyone find you on the interwebs?
On X, at John Jordan, no H, as it says there in the graphic. If you look up Wrestling Inc. John Jordan, you'll find all my written work there. My appearance tonight and moving forward on the podcast, whenever I can get fit in, is an attempt to bridge the gap between the editorial and the video side. We all are in this together. Some of the things you might find that I'm proud of at Wrestling Inc. so far are, of course, all the news, but a lot of features. I had a 30-minute sit-down interview with AJ Francis last week. That's there in full form and also on some breakouts. We are recapping all of our collective predictions for PLEs and pay-per-views throughout the year. And so far, the consensus is off to a really good start. And I've got some cool long-form features on things like the Montreal Screwjob, the legendary King Kong Kirk. I've got something coming up on Victoria and where she is now. So plenty, and I appreciate the support. And thank you guys again for having me tonight.
Nice. Yes, Wrestling Inc. For all the latest wrestling news, commentary, analysis, and features. John, we thank you for joining us tonight. Issa said NYC Demon Diva. That's Diva with the one. I'm at Glenna Rubenstein. Now I'm going to go back to playing WWE 2K24. And seeing, I don't know, maybe I can help Cody finish his story or something.
Please stop.
We'll Glenner check it G. out. Yes, Glenner G. Thanks, everyone. We'll get you back here. Tune in tomorrow night for Dynamite. Issa and I will be back on Friday, I believe, with Flobo to talk about SmackDown, The Rock, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Cody Rhodes. It's going to be a tag team match tonight, WrestleMania. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Bye. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.